But what Minister Joe was sharing about God being able, I used to get very excited about what came after the able. God is able, I get excited about what he was able to do. Totally disregarding the word able. Able doesn't mean God will do, has done it. Able means that God wants to do it. Able means that God can do it, but able also means there's something that we have to do in order to get it. And we kind of fuzz out on that part and then allow our faith to get damaged when we're not seeing manifest what God, we know God is able to do it. And so we think, well, yeah, he's able to do it, but he just doesn't want to do it for me. No, he wants to do it especially for you, and especially for you, and especially for you, and you, and you, and you. He wants to do it especially for everybody. But everything has a principle. And how many of you know principles work, whether it's for the good or the bad, they work. And you can be dumb and say, I don't believe in principles. Well, really? Choose not to believe the principle involved with gravity. And then jump off the roof, see what happens. Principles will work every time unless there is another force that can counteract it. Now, principles of lift and things like that can counteract gravity for a time. But when those other forces weaken, the principle kicks in. And gravity will bring you down. And it always, if gravity decided it, I'm going to rest for 15 minutes, we'd all be flying all over the place. This, I don't remember the exact number anymore. I used to know when I was in science on how fast the Earth rotates. If God decided for funsies, as Pastor Ed would say, to slow it down by 1/1000th of a second, we'd go flying off, like we're coming out of Pez dispenser. But the principle is the Earth has to rotate at a specific speed, at a specific angle, for everything to happen the way it's supposed to happen. Well, look at Ephesians 3. We started talking about this, the end of the scripture two weeks ago. We're going to start at verse 14 in the New King James Version. Paul said, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able. Say, may be able. In order for what I'm going to say next to happen, we have to be rooted and grounded in love. So that we'll be able to understand, to comprehend with all the saints, what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of God, which passes all knowledge. I got to stop there. God wants us to know the depth of him, the width of him, the height of him. He wants us to know just how big he is. Just how powerful he is, just how much he loves us. He wants us to know that without any doubts. And he wants us to know it in our hearts, not our heads. Because everybody knows it in their heads. from when you're a child. Yes, Jesus loves me. I don't know what that means yet. So we know God loves us. We know Jesus loves us, but we don't know the depth of it. We don't understand. We think God loves the way we love. And we don't really love, we just like a lot. Because if we really loved, things would be different. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. The love of Christ passes things that make sense. So you can almost say the love of God doesn't make any sense. You're treating me that badly and I'm loving you with all my heart? That doesn't make any sense. Instead of saying I love you, say I'm tired of you. Always doing something. We've talked about this over and over and over and over and over. Enough already. Can you imagine where we'd be? Close your eyes. Think about walking down the street and all you see coming up from the ground are legs and feet because God flung everybody down like a dart. He got upset with them and just said, later for you. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So God is telling us that we're to be filled, but we're supposed to be filled with all of His, with all of Him. All of us is supposed to be filled with all of Him. Say, all of me is to be filled with all of God. Now, verse 20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's another thing people get excited about. I mean, some of these things I wish I could take clips and send it into America's Funniest Home Videos. We'd win. Just video believers saying that scripture. Exceedingly, abundantly, whatever I ask or think. God will do it. He's going to do it. He said exceeding abundantly above. You hear that, devil? Exceedingly abundantly above. It says according to the power that's at work in you. Aha. So the question becomes, or the question, there are two questions. What is the power at work in me? And what power am I supposed to have in me? Well, I'm going to show you where God took care of the first part. He put himself into us. He's the power that should be at work in us. But let me tell you something. Let me show you something. We have lights in this building and heat. I'm thankful for that because the other day we didn't have heat. Not because we didn't pay our bills, but because there was an interruption in the power. We have power in this building, and because everything is configured properly, everything is working properly, we have lights. But the lights just don't decide, well, the power's here, I'm going to come on. Turn them out, Sal. This does not mean that God took his power away. It means that we did something that interfered with the power that was provided. And as a result of that interference, We don't have the benefit of what's been provided. We don't have the benefit of what's been sent to us. We don't have the benefit of what's been placed in this building because of something we did. It wasn't MedEd. MedEd did its job. It brought the power in. What are we doing once it comes in? And if we're not doing what's right, we have no benefit of it. Turn it back up, please. Turn them halfway for me, Sal, please. That's good. See, let's say this is all we expected. God said, I will do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ask or think. If you can bring them all the way. Exceeding abundantly more than you can ask or think. But it's according to the power that's at work in you, according to what you're doing with what God put in you. What are you doing? What are we doing with what God put in us? Because that's going to determine what he can do for us and through us. One of the things when you're training and you put yourself under the tutelage of a trainer, that trainer is not going to train you to do a specific task. He's going to train you so that you can handle whatever comes, if he's a good trainer. If you're talking about sports, he's not training you or she's not training you just to handle this game. In its parameters, if it's 60 minutes, 48 minutes. No, they're going to train you as if the game's going to take 3 days. Because somewhere along the path, something's going to happen and you're going to have to do something that other folks might think is supernatural. You can do it if you've put that in you while you've been while you were training. I put things in me so that when the supernatural time came, I was still in the mix because of what I put in me. When a coach said I was lacking, I worked on it. So I wasn't lacking in that area anymore. And it didn't matter who I faced because I had everything in place. And that's what God wants from us as his children. He wants us to have everything properly placed so that he's in a position to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. In Hebrews 13, where do I want to start? I'll start at verse 20. Now may the God of peace, Amplified Classic, now may the God of peace, who is the author and giver of peace, who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that sealed, ratified the lasting agreement, covenant, testament, may he strengthen, that means complete and perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out his will while he himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ the Messiah, to whom be glory forever and ever, to the ages of the ages. Amen. So be it. So the Bible is letting us know that God has put himself, he himself is working in us. In us already. We have to learn to yield to it and put down. You know why we don't yield to God? Well, I'll say it this way. I believe the reason we don't yield to God is we don't see him. If you stood in front of the mirror and God gave you a thumbs up and you just see him working in your body and doing things with your mind, you know, but because you don't see him, guess what you go with? What you do see, or even more so, what you feel. What you feel. I was talking with someone earlier in the week, and I said, one of the problems with this generation is everything's confrontational. It's confrontational. You don't like someone, you have two choices. Block them or delete them. Nowhere in there is have a conversation and talk through your differences. And often before one blocks or deletes, they tell everybody who they're blocking and why, and everything's confrontational. So God can't do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think, because the wrong power is at work in you. We have to be mindful of those types of things. Philippians 2:13 in the Passion Translation says, God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. I think one of the reasons why we get ourselves so worked up is we cause friction within us. This is what God wants us to do. This is what we want to do. And it's conflict, and it's like trying to gain superiority. And that friction is causing irritation. Now you're easily agitated. And you start asking God for things, and it appears that he's not listening. It's not that he's not listening to you. The problem is that he can't, because you've put a block between what you want, what he wants to do, and the power that's in you for him to do it. Because if the power's in you, we should always be walking in exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. I'm not going to go there yet. I'll go to Luke 10 in a minute. In Mark 16, Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, these signs will follow those that believe. We get excited because signs will follow. We forget that little caveat, those that believe. And there's another caveat, in my name. But Jesus said, in my name you'll cast out devils. So it's in believing and trusting and relying in the name of Jesus, letting that be your operating system, that will cause everything to happen, including exceeding abundantly above whatever you can ask or think. Because he said, these signs, cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents. If you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. You lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Well, the disciples went out and were doing that. The scripture says they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. That's why in Acts 3, when Peter and John went into the temple at the gate called Beautiful and saw the man begging and said to him, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They expected that to happen. They were doing that. That wasn't new, so to speak. That's the way they had been operating. And immediately the man got up and walked. Because Peter and John had the right power working in them. But what I wanted to get to was in Luke 10. We'll start up there. We'll go back if he wants to. But in Luke 10, it talks about Jesus sending 70, the 70 out, starting with verse 1 in Luke 10. After these things, the Lord appeared to appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. And then he gave them some instructions. I'm not going to go through all of those. You can read it. But they went out. And if you read it, you'll find out they went out and apparently they did the things that Jesus told them to do. And after they did it, they came back. Verse 17 says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, it was amazing. We laid hands on over 600 people and they got healed. Lord, the miracles were just pouring out. No, they didn't talk about that. They didn't talk about who was healed. They didn't talk about who was delivered. They were so excited because something happened that was exceeding abundantly above what they could ask or think. They said, even the demons are subject to us with your name. They didn't expect that. Because that wasn't in the, Jesus didn't say to them, and the demons are going to be. But he did tell them when he commissioned them, in my name, you will cast out devils. But they hadn't really encountered devils to cast out, I imagine. But they didn't talk about their victories on the road. They didn't talk about how well the people treated them or how badly the people treated them. They said, even the demons are subject to us when we have the right power working in us. I'm paraphrasing. They didn't say it that way. I'm saying it that way for this lesson's purpose. Even the demons are subject to us through thy name. Even the demons. It's like you go and buy a new car. Not only do you get a good finance rate, but they give you free maintenance for a year. Say, God, I just wanted to thank you. But that happened with the 70 because they had working in them all the instructions that Jesus gave them. They held fast to it, and they were doing and believing everything that happened the way Jesus said it would happen. And because they were so filled with that, more than what they expected happened. Because that more, quote-unquote, more power principle was working in them. They understood that the greater one lived inside them. I want to take you back. To Colossians. Colossians 1. To whom God willed to make known what are the riches of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ coming into you, not Christ being placed in you. It's that Christ is in you, and it's the hope of glory. Christ in you. Colossians 1, verse 26 and 29 in the Message Bible says, this mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just the Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. The mystery in a nutshell is just this. Christ is in you. So therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. You have to understand, we have to understand, we have to realize Christ is in us. And because he's in us and we are allowing him to work in us, we can look forward to sharing in God's glory. And the Message Bible says, it's that simple. This ain't rocket science. We have to understand the greater one lives in us and allow the greater one to continually operate through us, and things become that simple. And stop looking at your current circumstances. Because you didn't know this 5 minutes ago. Now it's to learn. Look up the scriptures of Christ in you. Look up the scriptures like the one in Ephesians. To be imitators of God. Look what God does and do it. As obedient children imitate their father. That's what the scripture says. So we need to understand who's in us and that we're to yield to that power that's in us, and great things will happen for us and through us. The world is waiting to see all of these great things because they've heard about them. And they see them in spots. Galatians 5 says Christ is, Galatians 4:19 says Christ is formed in you, my children, with whom I travail again in birth until Christ is formed in you. So he stayed until Christ was formed in us. And I was thinking about something. And I was kind of vacillating whether I was going to go, we're going in that direction or this direction today. But we're talking about Christ being in us. Jesus said something, one of the last things he said, it is finished. It is finished. Everything needed for us to have the right power in us and working through us, everything that needed to be done for that to happen, it's finished. It was done. It was done. All we have to do is let it flow. All we have to do is make sure there's nothing in there blocking it. But Jesus said, it is finished. We have to act like it's finished. We're waiting. You ever stop at a traffic light and go off for what seems like a millisecond thinking about something? Or daydreaming, And all of a sudden you hear behind you, honk, honk, honk. Because the light changed and you didn't know it. Because you were off somewhere else and you didn't know that the power to go was given. Well, that happens to us spiritually. We're off thinking about different things instead of what we're supposed to be focused on, and things are trying to pass by. And they're making a lot of noise. We're getting upset with the noise, don't realize we're in the way. We need to be moving. Because when you doing what you're supposed to do according to the power that works in you enables someone else to do what they're supposed to do according to the power that works in them, which enables someone else, and so on and so on and so on and so on. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, I can't do what I'm supposed to do. Because the Bible says that God placed the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him, so there'd be no schism. But there'd be the members would have the same care one for another. Said that as each one does its own special work, the whole body is healthy. As each one does their own special work, I mean, I can't do what you're supposed to do. You can't do what I'm supposed to do. You've been given power to do everything that God assigned for you. And guess what? That's all we should be looking at. Even as a pastor, I don't put spies out there to find out what the sheep are doing. It's your responsibility. My responsibility is to let you know this is how sheep act. Your responsibility is to act like a sheep. Too many of us act like Balaam's ride. That's as nice as I can say it. God will continually revitalize you. What it says in Philippians 2:13 in the Passion Translation. God will continue revitalize you, will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. So things that we know don't please God, the reason it's so hard for them to happen is because God didn't put that in us. He put in us the passion to do what's pleasing to him, so it makes it hard to do things that are not. And we get worn out trying to do the things that we're not supposed to be doing, doing things contrary to what God called us to do, because that takes work. And the reason I say it takes work is because God's not going to strengthen you to be disobedient. So when you're disobedient, you're on your own. You have to use your own strength, your own resources, and you don't have enough strength and you don't have enough resources. So you get weary, you get frustrated. When we need to just make a shift and go back to doing what the power was placed in us to do, God's will. And then we're in a position where God not only is able, but can and does do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. So you think of what the most outrageous blessing you can receive from God. Just think about that and realize he can top it. One translation says he can excessively top it. He can do excessively more than we could ever ask or think. But everything is according to the power that's at work in us. The scriptures are showing us where the power that was placed in us was him. The reason Jesus was never unsuccessful is because he said something not a little, one of the shorter things that he said, but in John 10, he simply said six words: I and my Father are one. We talk the same thing at the same time. We move the same way. What my Father does, I do. What my Father says, I say. As my Father thinks, I think. Doesn't the scripture tell us that we have the mind of Christ? We do. Yeah, in the Old Testament, God told the people, your thoughts are not my thoughts and your ways are not my ways. For as far as the heaven is from the earth, all my thoughts and ways above yours. But that was before we were in Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, and the Bible tells us that we do, then we think the same thing Christ thinks. Christ thinks the same thing God thinks. So we think the same thing God thinks. So his thoughts should be our thoughts, because now we have the power working within us. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we do. We have the power work. We actually have the Godhead in us. So there should be no reason why we're not experiencing exceeding abundantly above whatever we ask or think. We have to realize we have the right power in us. We need to make sure it's the right power at work in us. At work in us. I don't want to abruptly stop, but I'm hearing stop right there. And I'm thinking, I have several more points. But he said, no, stop right there. So I'm going to stop right here. And as Minister Joe shared earlier, the Holy Ghost will finish things. If you've been writing down scriptures and you read them and meditate on them and look them up and do the cross references, and you'll look at it and you'll say, now I see it. I used to get excited, Minister Joe, when we'd sing a song and I'd read the Bible and see the words in there. I'm like, that's where the lyrics. I thought Pastor Clinton was this great lyricist. All he's doing is taking the Bible and putting it to music. But folks, Ephesians 3 says to let Christ make his home in our hearts. Let Christ make it home. Let him express himself more fully through us in our daily life. We do that by allowing him, the power that he placed in us, to have free reign throughout our entire body. Everything we think, everything we say, everything we do, everything we feel. And then when we speak, more than miracles will come out of our mouth. Exceedingly abundantly above. What does that mean? Well, you go to the hospital because you have a friend that's in the emergency room or that's infirmed. You go, you lay hands on your friend, and everybody in the ward gets up and walks out. Everybody. How are they going to explain that one? Someone thought, oh, that'll never happen with me. Not with that mindset. It won't. I'm not standing here because I heard it over here. a mindset needs to be, God's going to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever I ask or think, and he's going to do it through me because I have the right power at work. And we're going to start expecting. And here's where it really gets cool. It says he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So if I expect him to do exceedingly abundantly above, he's going to do exceedingly abundantly above what's already exceedingly abundantly above. Let that one roll around in your head. But I'm believing that that's going to happen. I'm believing I'm going to see it. I'm believing I'm going to be a part of it. We had a meeting at the church with Shekinah glory. And the presence of God was so strong, people walked in the door and passed out. The power of God hit them when they stepped in the outer lobby. They stepped through the door and just... I'm surprised someone didn't call 911. And people that didn't come out walked in and they're looking, and they you just see bodies laying on the floor all over the lobby. While they were ministering to a group of people inside the Circle Sanctuary, they expected those people to receive. But God said, oh no, everybody's going to receive. That was exceedingly abundantly above what they thought. And now it's at the place now where we expect it. Every time there's a move of God, we expect things to happen. Wherever we are. Why? Because God said he would do it. And now I'm at the place where I don't just expect him to do it, I expect him to do more because he said he would. If I want him to do a lot more, I just think more things. Because God will do, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think, but it is according to the power that's at work in you.